God loves you. Yeah. Amen. I remember back in the 70s when I was a kid growing up, there was a bumper sticker. Of course, that was back in the hippie days, and they kind of distorted the love of God. Amen. But I like the little smiley sign that they had. That, you know, the little yellow smiley, Mr. Walmart dude, you know what I'm talking about? That's where that came from. It was back in the 70s in the flower child era. They had the little smiley face and it said, smile, God loves you. And you know what? Every now and then we ought to just do that. We'll just smile because God loves us. Amen. Hallelujah. Take your Bible tonight and go to Numbers chapter number 21. Numbers chapter number 21. I had this on my heart for several days, and it just kept weighing heavier and heavier, and so I'm just going to mind the Lord and preach it tonight. I preached it a long time ago right here, and I told Brother Freddie, I said, how long has it been since I preached this message? And he looked over my outline, and he said, been a long time, and he said, been a real long time. And I actually thought I kind of dismissed it because I thought that when my Bible got stolen and my briefcase there a couple of years ago, I actually thought this outline was in that briefcase. And I've got empty boxes, Bible boxes that Bibles come in. That's where I put all my outlines, and I opened one of them and it was laying right on the top. I said, okay, Lord, that'll do. I'll preach it. Amen. But Numbers chapter number 21, the children of Israel. This is telling about their wanderings in the wilderness. We talked about Moses a little bit this morning and how he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. After he got done making all his excuses, and finally he surrendered and went ahead and did God's will. And he led them out of Egypt, and they say that the promised land, the land of Canaan, where they were headed to, is only just a few days' journey from Egypt. I forget exactly how many days, but it's not that great a distance, even to travel by foot. But they wandered around in circles in the wilderness for 40 years. And it was not God's fault, it was their fault. Amen. It was their fault. So they're in the middle of this wandering around and in the wilderness. And in verse number 4 of Numbers chapter 21, I want to read this verse and lift from it a phrase and preach on that thought. The Bible said, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people. Now I want you to think about your soul. Look up here. Quit looking at your Bible. The soul of the people. Man, that's your innermost being. That's not the mind of the people. That's more of the heart of the people. Now, I just want you to understand this thing is not a superficial thing. It's not something that's just on the surface. It's deep within the heart of these people. The Bible said, and the soul of the people was much, say the next word with me, discouraged. Now look at the why. Because of the way. The Bible said the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes on the dangers of discouragement. The dangers of discouragement. I believe discouragement is one of the greatest tools that the devil uses to defeat his people. You'll survive I'm not even going to use an example. You'll survive horrible things in your life. And then be defeated by discouragement. You can make it through marital problems, diseases, even deaths. And then discouragement sneak up on you and destroy you. Discouragement in itself, I guess I would have to say it's probably a sin, but we're all prone to it. You say, preacher, if I get discouraged, does that mean I'm not spiritual? No, that means you're human. Amen. Would you agree with me? How many of you have been discouraged? Raise your hand. That's every one of us. Amen. I remember reading a quotation from Charles Spurgeon. How many of you have ever heard of Charles Spurgeon? He was known of in the 1800s, early 1900s, as the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I've got a 2-volume set of Charles Spurgeon on the book of Psalms. It's called the treasuries of David. I mean, boy, what a man of God he was. He's revered. People still preach from Spurgeon's notes today. I mean, he was just a tremendous man of God. And Charles Spurgeon, you would never know it, or you would never think it, but Charles Spurgeon battled discouragement. Here's what he quoted. He said this. He said, "Discouragement creeps over my heart and makes me go with heaviness to my work." That's Charles Spurgeon. Sometimes our responsibilities, the thing that God has asked us to do, seems to overwhelm and discourage us. Sometimes our lot in life, the things that we have to face and the things that we have to deal with, overwhelm us and discourage us. Amen. Have you ever been having a great day, or let's put it this way, a great week? It seems that everything's going your way, and all of a sudden something comes along and just knocks the wind out of you. I mean, it can be blessing, 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 blessing. Seems like God is just shining on you, and everything you want to happen happens. All your prayers are being answered. Everybody's healthy. I mean, brother, you couldn't be none the better if you wanted to. If it got any better, you'd have to be in heaven. And then one little thing comes along and seems to outweigh in our hearts and minds all the blessings that we've been experiencing throughout the week. Amen. Amen. What it is, we want our cake and we want to eat it too. Yes. Amen. We want the blackberry jelly, but we don't want to get out in the briar patch to pick the blackberries. Can I get a witness right there? Anybody ever? The briars wasn't what bothered me, it was the chiggers. Amen. If you ever pick blackberries, you know exactly what I mean. I'm going to leave that alone. The devil can beat you with discouragement quicker than he can some great sin. Amen. Would you agree? And you know what I've found out by reading through this Bible? Some of the people that God used the mightiest, some of the people that did some of the greatest things in the Bible, faced days of discouragement. Days when they were not, woo, shouting the victory, marching around the walls and seeing the walls come tumbling down. Wow, man, what a time. Moses held up his rod and the Red Sea parted. First time anybody sung in the Bible was that day. No, that was when they placed the blood over and the death angel passed over. And maybe it was the Red Sea. First time anybody, well, they sung. Praise God. Man, what great day. Great day. But did you know every day wasn't that way? And every day in your life is not going to be that way? Let me say it again. It ain't all banana pudding and ice cream and Reese cups. Amen. Brother Charles, it ain't all Sister Angie's chocolate delight. Amen. He gets one of them for Christmas every year. My wife's trying to fatten him up. Brother Charles says she's trying to kill me. Amen. Hey, some vinegar along the way. Looking at my life, I can say the majority of it has been sweet. And I thank God for those days. But I don't want to get to the place where I allow one of those days where it's not banana pudding, but it is vinegar. I don't want that to overshadow the banana pudding. Does that make sense? The greatest people who ever lived face discouragement. So don't think you are any better. Amen? Take your Bible and go to Numbers chapter number 11. The problem with discouragement, it's not when we visit it. It's when we move in and decide to live there. If you go a day discouraged, you're normal. If you get discouraged for a week, you're normal. But when it becomes a way of life, something's wrong. Amen. When it gets to be where you don't even remember what it felt like to feel good. I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about spiritual. Something's wrong. And we need to find out what and get it fixed. David did and went to the Lord and said, restore unto me. Not restore my salvation, but restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know what he said? I'm tired of being down. I'm tired of being discouraged. I'm tired of being depressed. God, pick me up and make me happy again. Now, I don't know about you. I love happy. I do. I love to laugh. I was watching Leave It to Beaver before I left the house. I had Hayden in there in the bedroom. He stayed the afternoon with us. I said, this is what Papa used to watch. I couldn't even get him to look at it. It was black and white. Old Beaver. I just get tickled watching that stuff. I'll watch Andy Griffin, shows I've seen over and over and over, and just laugh and laugh and laugh. Amen. Ain't B, call the man. I mean, I just get tickled at that stuff. Amen. It feels good to laugh. I would much rather be on top and be happy. I'd much rather be clapping my hands and having something to praise the Lord about, amen, than be down in the dumps and wishing I was dead. But I ain't no different than you. I have them days. Somebody said, boy, Brother Eddie, you're happy all the time. You don't see me all the time. You see me at my best. And when I'm at my best is when I'm standing right here. There have been periods in my life where I've left the pulpit, people getting saved, woo, had a great time, and go home, say, God, why don't you kill me? Amen. What's that prove? I'm normal. Somewhat. You still want to preach Wednesday night? Numbers chapter number 11. I want to show you the dangers of staying discouraged. How many of you know it when it's coming on? Yes, sir. Come on, be real honest. Use your head tonight. You know it when it's getting you. You know you're fixing to get down. And you know what? When it starts, it just seems to sink lower and lower and lower. And if you're not careful, you'll nurse it. I'm just giving some advice tonight. If you're not careful, you'll nurse that thing. You'll start having a pity party. You're not getting better, you're getting worse. You start to dwell on it. I'm preaching where we live, I know I am. You start to dwell on it, and then in your head, the situation gets worse than it really is. Amen? We need to recognize when it's coming on and get out of it as quick as we can. Amen. I want to show you why. Numbers chapter number 11. I want you to look at verse number 11. And Moses said unto the Lord. Now, wait a minute. What's he doing? Come on, talk to me. He's praying. When we talk to the Lord, we're praying. Moses is leading these children of Israel out of bondage to the promised land. He's already seen more miracles so far than anybody in the Bible.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
He has seen the rod that he used as a walking stick, throw it on the ground and turn into a snake.
Yeah.
And eat the magician's snakes.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He has seen God send plagues of flies, lice, frogs, blood, turn the water into blood. Hey, God, he has seen God do all these things. Parted the Red Sea. I mean, he just held up his rod and said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
And a few million people marched across there on dry ground.
Yeah.
He saw that.
Yeah.
He didn't just see it, he led it. God has used him in a great way. Would you agree?
Yeah.
If anybody ought to be, it ought to be him. He's seen the pillar of fire that followed him by night, the pillar of cloud that followed him by day.
Yeah.
He's seen the water come out of the rock. He's seen manna fall out of heaven and feed the people. They got tired of eating bread. So God give them a quail. You got to remember, how many millions of people is that, Brother Charles? About 3 million. Somewhere in that neighborhood. I'm talking about a gob of people. That's a bunch of quail, brother. And they just flew out of the sky and flopped down on the ground and said, here we are, eat us. Moses has seen all this. He's witnessed all this. Now he's praying. It's prayer time. Things have got a little rough. Remember, they're discouraged because of the way. Now we need to understand the fact that sometimes the way's just going to be hard. There's going to be whoo days, and then there's going to be grin and bear it days. There's going to be days when we skate by, but there's going to be days when we got to grit our teeth. Amen. Pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, encourage ourselves in the Lord, and go on. It's prayer time. The way has got tough, and Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Talking about himself. And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? In other words, God, you hadn't blessed me. That's what he's praying. You've got to remember what all we just said he done seen. That thou layest the burden of all this people upon me. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. Now look up here just a second. When we get discouraged, it can cause us to pray the wrong prayer. Discouragement will affect your prayer life. Yes, have you ever complained to God? Yes, come on. Yes, have you ever complained to God? I can remember as a young preacher sitting on the pew at White Oak Springs dreaming, I mean dreaming, laying in bed at night and dreaming, preaching to a crowd half this size. I can remember coming into Happy Valley on a Wednesday night and we could put everybody on one pew. I'd preach to them like there's 4,000.
Amen.
Dreaming one day God would do something with me. Walk in here this morning, they ain't nowhere to sit. There's between 20 and 30 people in the balcony. 6 people saved here today. I ought to be out of this world ecstatic. But yet, I still complain to God. I get discouraged and pray the wrong prayer. Isn't that what Moses did? Amen. Your prayer life can be defeated by discouragement. You know what it does? It makes you pray selfish. Every time. Moses said in verse number 11, why have you given me all these people to lead? Why did you put me in this position? You reckon your preachers ever prayed that prayer? I ain't got 3 million. I don't want 3 million. Amen. I can't handle you. God, why'd you give me all these people to lead? Instead of thank you, God, for all these people and all their problems. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be a little part in their lives. Amen. You get discouraged, you'll pray the wrong thing. When Moses marched across the Red Sea, he was singing praises to God. But listen to him now. What was his joy has become a burden. Stay with me. What was his joy? What he was, woo, singing about. Ashley and them sing that song. I started to get them singing tonight. Many long years ago down in Egypt's land, Israel was in bondage by Pharaoh's hand, something like that. And talks about Moses leading them across the Red Sea. I mean, man, that might have been what they're singing. I mean, brother, you know they were shouting it out. They just watched the sea close up on Pharaoh's entire army. And somebody, National Geographic, somebody went over there, and you know what is scattered all across the bottom of the Red Sea? chariot wheels.
Yeah. Amen.
Wonder how them got there. Duh. I could have told you without swimming. I know what's down there. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But listen to him now. Something's changed. If you're not careful, you'll get there too. How many of you remember the first Sunday you stood in your Sunday school class and taught a lesson to some boys or girls? How many of you remember how you labored over that little old lesson all week long? And then on Saturday night, you couldn't sleep because you felt like it wasn't good enough. How many of you remember that first kid off your bus route that got saved? Come on, y'all, talk to me a little bit tonight. I love Brother Greg Martin. He ain't got a brain. He's like the guy on the Wizard of Oz. I wish I had a brain. I love Brother Greg. He's a mess. But I love his excitement.
Yeah.
Ain't a Sunday goes by, he doesn't come, "Brother Eddie, you ain't going to believe. Here's what I preach." And he tells me what he preached on the bus. And then he'll grab me after church and say, "Brother Eddie, one of them little old kids we brought today got born again." He come in tonight. He said, "Brother Eddie, can we baptize next Sunday night?" I said, "Yeah, we're going to anyway." He said, "Little girl off my bus got saved. Wants to get baptized." Hallelujah. Hey, brother, if you're not careful, the devil will take that joy and turn it into discouragement and have you wanting to quit what God has given you to do.
Yeah.
How do you know? I've been there.
Yeah.
He'll do that.
Yeah.
When you face these days like Moses is facing, remember how fun it used to be. Go back in your mind to that first child that got saved or that first person that you led to the Lord. Just go back to where God used you and where God blessed you. Go back to where you were when you were excited about doing something for the Lord. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He prayed the wrong prayer. What was his joy has now become his burden. Verse number 12, he says, "These ain't my kids." He said, "These ain't my kids, they're yours." You think God didn't know that?
Yeah.
You're not my people, you're God's. But God gave you to me to lead. It's just like those children that are sleeping in your laps and in the pews. Those are not your children. They're God's. He just gave them to you to raise. Amen. We don't have to remind Him of that. What we need to remind is ourselves. Amen. He said, "These ain't my kids." "What's the matter with you, Moses?" "I'm discouraged." Have you ever been there? "Lord, I can't take it. I'm burned out. I'm fed up." I believe burnout is a cop-out. Let me say that again. I believe burnout is a cop-out.
Amen.
You're not burned out, you're discouraged. Worst thing you can ever do is quit when you're discouraged. Can I say that again? If you're going to quit, do it when it's great. And if you can quit then, God may be in it. Are you listening? Yeah, but you just get to doing the same thing for so... I know, I've been doing it 16 years. Maybe it's time for a change. Don't you think that ain't ever went through my mind? They tired of hearing me. They've heard all my jokes. They all know all my stories. Maybe they need somebody who can take them further. I'm not burned out. I'm just discouraged. Amen. Sometimes we get discouraged because you don't respond like we think you ought to. That's what's wrong with Moses. These people are complaining. They're whining. They're talking behind their back. And he gets down about it. He's not getting the outcome that he wants to have. What Moses don't understand is you don't control people. Somebody said, Brother Eddie White ain't nothing but a dictator. No, a dictator controls. I don't control you. I don't run your lives. As a young pastor, I may have tried. And as an old pastor, I've realized that ain't my job.
Amen.
My job is to tell you what God said, then you do with it whatever you want.
That's right.
And if you don't do what you're supposed to do with it, I'm going to go home and go to bed.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Yes, that's good.
Amen, brother.
I told you, what else can I do? Amen. Verse 15. Now watch this. Verse 14, he said, I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it's too heavy for me. Verse 15, and if thou deal thus with me, say the next two words with me. What did he say? Kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I found favor in thy sight, then let not me see my wretchedness. Here's what he said. Lord, if you really want to bless me, kill me. Aren't you glad God doesn't answer all our prayers? Have you ever just bowed your head and said, Lord, what I said yesterday? Never mind. Thank you, Lord. As a young preacher, I used to pray, Lord, if I ever start to even say something wrong from the pulpit, kill me. Whew, I don't pray that one no more. You can write a book on what I've said that wasn't right. Amen. Amen. Just listen to him. If I found favor, kill me. Just kill me, Lord. I want to die. You parted the Red Sea, dude. You watched Pharaoh's entire army drowned. You've been eating bread falling out of heaven, quail flopping on the ground, water coming out of a rock. Man, you want to die? That's what I want. What's the matter with you? He's discouraged. Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel, challenges the devil worshipers, the prophets of Baal. I mean, he calls them out. That reminds me of a cowboy movie. Woo-woo-woo! It does. What it reminds me. Every time I read that, that's what I think of. I mean, he calls them out. High noon, man. Go ahead, pump. Make my day. He said, y'all build you an altar. He said, y'all pray for a little while. He said, y'all get done praying, I'll pray. He said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God.
Yeah, that's it. Amen.
They started praying. He's so cocky, makes fun of them.
Yeah.
Said, what's the matter, boys? Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe you ought to holler a little louder.
Yeah.
They thrashed around, spoke in tongues. They done everything they knew to do.
Yeah.
And finally, Elijah said, y'all done? Elijah prays a little old short prayer, whoo, fire fall. Consumes the offering. By the way, they poured water all the way around it. Poured water all over it.
Yeah, amen.
The Bible said the fire even burnt the dust off the ground.
Amen.
And then Moses said, bless God, y'all think that's something. I'm fixed to kill every cotton picking one of you. And he does. 400 prophets of Baal. I mean, I would say this guy ought to be... strutting just a little bit. Wouldn't you? I mean, man, I just prayed fire down from heaven. Call CNN. Amen. Get Fox out here. Yeah, I'm the man. That's me. I prayed that prayer. Uh-huh. That's how I'd be. I just killed 400 devil worshipers by myself. Jezebel, the old wicked queen, hears tell of it, and she sends Elijah word. And she said, this time tomorrow, you're going to be as one of them. Talking about them prophets of Baal. In other words, you're going to be dead. He runs and hides.
Amen, brother.
I would have went to her house, stood outside her window, and prayed that same prayer. Lord God, remember what you did yesterday? Right over there. Smoke them both. I don't have no doubt God would have done it. He did it the day before.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He did it the day before, but no, he runs and hides, and he finds himself a juniper tree, and he sits down under that tree, and he copies Moses' prayer. And he prays the same thing. Kill me. What's the matter, Elijah? He's discouraged. He's still Elijah. He's still a great man of God. He just got discouraged. But you know what? He didn't choose to live there. He did get up. And you can get up. But when you get discouraged, one of the greatest dangers is it'll cause you not to pray right. When you get discouraged, you'll pray the wrong prayer. Secondly, let me say this tonight. Numbers chapter 21. Go back where we were. Numbers chapter 21. We're talking about these several million people that God led out of bondage. Did all these great miracles for. Now look at verse number 5. Verse number 4, we left them a while ago. They were much discouraged because of the way. Now look at verse number 5. Are y'all there? Say amen.
Amen.
Now watch this. And the people spake against who?
God.
And against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul loatheth this light bread. When you get discouraged, you're in danger of praying the wrong thing, but you're also in danger of saying the wrong thing. How many of you have ever got down, had a bad day, and said something you regretted? They spoke against God. Can you believe that? I'd bet a dollar to a donut you've done it too. I have. When Ashley Hofford got cancer, I got mad. I had to fight that thing. I didn't understand it. I prayed, Lord, if you got to do that to somebody, let me help you pick one. Seriously. Why you got to come in here and pick out the best people we got and afflict them? It's the same thing they were doing. Tom's laid them finances out there for me. And I went home and said, God, why'd you bring us here to let us go bankrupt? Say the wrong thing. When you get discouraged, you ever heard the old saying, misery loves company? When you get discouraged, you don't want to be around nobody happy. Come on, y'all, talk to me. You don't want to get around somebody who's just bubbling, having a good time. You're like, shut up. You phony, you make me sick. Come on. You know who you want to get around? You want to get around somebody who says, yeah, brother, I understand. Tell me all about it. Was I in your way? You want to take your misery and spread it around. When you get discouraged, you're liable to sow seeds of discord. That's what they're doing. They're not just speaking against God, they're speaking against Moses, the leadership God has put over them. It's his fault. When in reality, it was their own. Don't get in your car tonight and just because you're discouraged, talk in front of your kids about how stupid my idea is about putting change jugs out here.
Come on, brother. Bless your heart, brother. Amen.
You're not going to like every decision I make. We didn't take a vote on it. Water bottles will be out here next Sunday night. Hey, man, it's a good idea, even if you don't like it.
Well, bless God, I'd have used milk jugs.
That's how little you think. I'm after Pop's quarter savings. That's what my Pop got. Woo, Lord. Mama said, yeah, you keep on dreaming. That's his Dodge Viper, amen. You'll get discouraged. and you'll get sideways with me. But not only that, you won't be satisfied just for you to be sideways with me. You'll have to find somebody who agrees with you so you can be sideways with me. And then they'll find somebody who will agree with them. That thing spreads, man. That thing spreads. A foul spirit will spread like chicken pox, brother. Only thing about chicken pox you can't get but once. You can get a foul spirit every other day. Amen? But the danger of discouragement is not only praying the wrong prayer, but saying the wrong thing. When you get discouraged, it will distort your thinking. Amen. You'll think things that ain't even right.
Well, I know Brother So-and-so don't like me.
You know what you need to do when you get discouraged? Say as little as possible. Sometimes it would be better just not to talk. What's the matter, you brother? You awfully quiet? Nah, just thinking. Shut up. Get off the ground. Ask God to help you. Amen. When you get in the wrong place, you will say the wrong thing. God never brought them out of Egypt to die or to starve. But because the way was hard, they distorted what God was doing. David said in Psalms 116, in verse number 11, here's what he said. He said, I said in my haste that all men are liars. You know what he said? I spoke too quick. My discouragement caused me to think the wrong thing.
Amen.
Amen. We all right tonight?
Amen.
It'll cause you to pray the wrong thing. It will cause you to say the wrong thing. You ever felt like old David did? Like they just wasn't nobody you could count on? Nobody cared about your problem, your situation? Huh? Did you know that's not true?
Amen.
Well, I don't go that. Somebody made this statement and it got back to me. I don't go to that church anymore because nobody there likes me. That's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a half-truth. Somebody there may not like you. But everybody there doesn't hate you. Somebody likes you. You know, I don't care how weird you are, somebody likes you. Old Brother Rusty said, amen. I love you, bro. I love that guy. It doesn't matter. I wasn't saying you were weird, bro. His wife said, amen, he is too. It doesn't matter how quirkish you are. You know, some people, y'all got some strange ways. Some of them. Amen. Y'all believe it or not, some people like Robbie. I've actually heard them say it. I like old Robbie Mooney. What? I was in Pennsylvania. Some woman come up to me after the service, shook my hand. She said, how's Brother Robbie and his wife? I said, you know Brother Robbie? Oh, yes, we love Brother Robbie. I said, hallelujah. That's proof, man, of the grace of God and the love of God. It'll cause you to pray the wrong thing. It'll cause you to say the wrong thing. Listen, not only that, it'll cause you to think the wrong thing when you get discouraged. When you get discouraged, it will distort your entire way of thinking. Not only will you say the wrong thing, your whole being is being altered by discouragement. Nothing about you feels good. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet. The way you look at people, the way you receive people. We cut up around here, maybe too much, I don't know. But we poke at each other and go on. Lord, you should be in the prayer room sometime. Or in one of my leadership meetings with Brother David and Brother David Connell and Brother Freddie Young. You'd think these two guys. Brother David come in a leadership meeting one night. No, Brother Freddie did, and Brother David had moved Brother Freddie's chair and put a high chair there. You know what? They could do that on just the wrong day. Catch them off guard. Huh? Get you to thinking the wrong thing. When down in your heart you know David Connell loves you. David Connell knows Brother Freddie loves him, or he'd done bashed his head in or something. Hey, say amen right there, brother. It will. It'll cause you to think the wrong thing. Matthew chapter number 11. You don't have to turn there. But John is in prison. John, the disciple John. He's in prison. Now you got to remember, just a short time before, John is baptizing in the river. And down the road comes Jesus. And John looks up and makes one of the greatest statements in the Bible. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But now John's in prison. Would you say jail's probably a discouraging place? He's not. He's not in one of our prisons. He's in prison. He has no 3 square meals, fresh towels and a blanket, and a color television and air conditioning. He's in a dungeon. And he sends word to Jesus. Here's what he said. "Is it really you? Or do I need to look for another?" He questioned who he was. But John was the one who recognized him for who he was before anybody else. Long before Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." And Jesus said, "On this rock I'll build my church." John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." But he gets down and he gets discouraged. He doesn't just doubt what God's doing. He's doubting who God is. You say a real Christian can never think like that. You've never been discouraged, have you? It'll cause you to pray the wrong thing. It'll cause you to say the wrong thing. And it'll cause you to think the wrong thing. Discouragement will make you doubt your salvation. I've heard some preachers preach to good people, and they preach in such a way that if you're in this position, you're not saved. You can't be saved and feel like it. You can be saved and feel like anything. You can be saved and feel lower than a snake's belly.
Yes, sir.
You can be saved and take a handful of sleeping pills, go to bed and never wake up. I don't care what the Catholics say. We all right tonight?
Amen.
If you can go to heaven after killing somebody else, surely you can go to heaven after killing yourself.
Amen. Yeah.
It'll make you doubt your salvation. You can get so discouraged, it'll make you doubt your pastor. It'll make you doubt your family.
Amen.
Amen. It'll sure do it. It'll mess up everything. It'll mess up your thinking. Cause you to pray the wrong thing, cause you to say the wrong thing, I got to hurry, cause you to think the wrong thing. And then it's no longer just thinking and talking, it becomes action. After we've prayed wrong, after we've said the wrong thing, after we've thought the wrong thing, we'll wind up doing the wrong thing. In Numbers chapter 20, just before our text where we read, God had told Moses to speak to the rock. But he was mad and discouraged, and he smote the rock. He didn't do what God said do. Discouragement will cause you to disobey God. If you don't get, if you don't get in, or you don't get over it, it will destroy you. You know why people quit? Do you know why Moses never reached Canaan? Discouragement.
Amen.
Discouragement will keep us from the very place God really intended for us to be.
Yes, sir.
But we'll get discouraged and we'll do the wrong thing. I know parents tonight, and Listen, I'm not so arrogant that I think that we're the only show in town.
Amen.
In the South, we're blessed to be surrounded by good, fundamental Bible preaching churches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
There's no doubt in my mind, if it wasn't for trees, you could see Fullerville Baptist Church. There's no doubt in my mind, Steve Swofford's probably as good a preacher as there is anywhere around here.
Amen.
Jeff Bird's right down the street, probably no doubt as good a preacher as there is. We got some good churches. So I don't want you to think that I think this is the only church. It ain't. But I know parents who got discouraged and got out of church. They did the wrong thing. Now their children are paying for it. Their children are paying the price.
Amen.
Some of their children are even unsaved. They quit when they were little.
Yeah.
I got people's faces going through my mind.
Yeah.
You say, what do you think I ought to do when I get discouraged? Don't do the wrong thing. Walking away from God is never the right thing. Going in the opposite direction is never the right thing. When you get to heaven, ask Jonah about that. God said, go to Nineveh and cry against it, or I'm going to destroy it. So Jonah goes down to Joppa and gets on a boat going in the opposite direction. God said, that's the way we want to play. Fishy, fishy in the brook. Oh yeah. God got a whale for you too.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Don't do the wrong thing. By doing the wrong thing, it only worsens the outcome. You ever got discouraged and made some decisions and done some things and you look back on it and you thought, why in the world did I do that? I only made it worse. How many of you been guilty of making your situation worse?
Yes.
Just by doing it? I've done it over and over and over again. That didn't help. Getting mad and flying off the handle, that ain't going to help.
Right.
We went through some little financial things at the house recently. And my wife said, I can't believe you. She said, 10 years ago, you'd have went crazy and thrown stuff and had a fit. And I learned it don't help the situation one bit. I'm broke, now I got to patch sheetrock. Amen. I'm broke, now I got to put the door back on the hinges. Come on, talk to me, men. That don't do a lick of good. It ain't helping. It just makes a situation worse. It takes a bad situation and just puts more tension on top of it by doing the wrong thing. Let me go back to keeping your mouth shut. When you get mad, zip it. You get sideways with somebody in the church, they didn't do you right. Shh. Don't spread that. Hush. Go home. Sleep on that thing a few days. Think about how many times you've done the same thing to somebody else. Amen. It'll cause you to do the wrong thing. Not only will it cause you to pray the wrong prayer, say the wrong thing, think the wrong thing, and do the wrong thing. Listen to me. Look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. It'll cause you to see the wrong thing. Discouragement will blur your vision. Moses sends 12 spies into the land of Canaan. The land that flowed with milk and honey. The land where the pomegranates were so big. And it took two men to carry one cluster of grapes. Oh, what a land. What a land. The spies come back. Look at verse 25. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel. Now listen, they're not just coming to Now, they're not just coming to Moses and Aaron, the leadership. They're telling everybody. 9 times out of 10, when you see the wrong thing and you're about to say the wrong thing, you ain't just going to tell it. You want everybody to know it. Yeah. Amen? So they're talking to the whole congregation of Israel. Verse number 26 said, when they came to Moses, to Aaron, to all the congregation, children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, always got to be bud in there, right? Yeah. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and are very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it. Listen. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Is that true? Is the world stronger than us? They saw the wrong thing. When we look at the bottom line on our finances, Brother Tom, we're seeing the wrong thing. That's right. It's important we stay on top of it. It's important. Thank God for y'all paying them bills like you did. Still pray about this mortgage. But if we're not careful, we'll see the wrong thing. I don't want to walk in here and see a church that's facing financial difficulty because of so many out of work. I want to walk in here and see the 6 that got saved this morning. I want to walk in here and see the bus award given to faithful, hardworking people. I want to walk in here and see the Sunday school teachers who are anxious to go to their class. I want to walk in on Sunday morning and see Irene and Jerry herding all them little old kids and getting them into that room and singing and cutting up with them. I want to see Thomas out there setting the sound system up. I want to see all the good because it far outweighs the bad. Hey, the bad's there if you want to see it. Amen. Some of you, that's your problem. You're looking for it. Yeah. Oh, you can bet. There's more than treasure in the field, friend. We got faults and we got problems and we got troubles. But we got a God that's bigger than every one of them put together. Amen. Amen. 10 of them spies said, we can't do it. Remember the Red Sea? Remember what God did? If God can part a Red Sea, if He can drown an entire army, Pharaoh, the greatest army, if He can drown them boogers in the Red Sea, He can handle them giants over there.
Yeah, that's right.
They said, well, we're just grasshoppers in their sight. Well, what are they in God's sight? I've got discouraged and saw the wrong thing, looked out across this congregation and thought, there's no hope, there's no hope. We're just a bunch of poor folks barely getting by day by day by day. There's no way, God, we can do what You have put us here to do because we don't have the means to do it. And God said, hey, wait a minute. Remember that second mortgage?
Yeah.
Remember the banker that laughed at you and said this was impossible, it couldn't be done? I put you here. I can sustain you here.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Discouragement when we dwell there can cause us to pray the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, think the wrong thing, cause us to do the wrong thing, and cause us to see the wrong thing. Discouragement will blur your vision. And where there's no vision, the people perish. Amen. Don't raise your hand. But how long has it been since you looked around and found fault? Something in the church you didn't like. You're looking for the wrong thing. Because I guarantee there's something here you don't like. There's something you disagree with. You find a church that you agree with every single thing that's going on. You go join that church and you'll double the attendance. Some of y'all aren't getting that, are you? Because you join the church, it'll double in size. It'll just be you and that other idiot. Oh, I'm sending you to them. I know where they are. I know churches ain't got but 4 or 5 people in them, and they like it that way because ain't nobody good enough to be part of them. Don't be looking for the wrong thing. Look for the right thing. Because there's enough right to go around. Amen?
Amen.
Discouragement will not only cause you to see the wrong thing, but it'll cause you to get in the wrong place. Remember where discouragement got Jonah? We know he was in the belly of a whale. That's not quite what Jonah called it. Jonah called it the belly of hell. I've let myself get in the worst place I've ever been in my life. Have you ever found yourself after a bout of discouragement and thought, how in the world did I get here? How did I get from where I was so happy to this? You stayed in discouragement too long. Don't ever make a decision. Don't ever leave this church because you're discouraged. Wait till you feel good about things and then go. When I left White Oak, Brother Greg, I wasn't discouraged. I cried. I grew up there my whole life. That last Sunday that I went back at White Oak, Brother Earl had me preach. It was my last time there. I was the youth pastor. I'd had the privilege of leading almost every teenager in that church of the Lord, including my pastor's son, Brother Carl, who will be here to sing for us next month. I loved them people. That's how I knew God was in it. Because leaving wasn't my choice. It was His. When you leave because it's your choice, it's probably because you made a wrong one. It'll cause you to get in the wrong place. What if you get discouraged and leave the will of God for your life? I know God can move people. But what if you get discouraged? Come here, bud. What if Brother Allen and Amy had got sideways with me about something? Left the church. The message he heard in junior church the other day might have been just the message he needed to get born again. What if he'd have missed that? Thank you, buddy. I know parents of children who have missed it because mom and daddy got discouraged. Prayed the wrong thing. Said the wrong thing. Thought the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, and got in the wrong place. Some get discouraged and say, well, the preaching's just not deep enough. So you go to Dr. Bottle Stopper's church, Dr. Jack Frost.
Yeah.
And these boys and kids sit under preaching that they don't understand a word of. Because if you is honest, you don't either. Have you ever been in one of them places where one of them guys get through and you go, what'd he say? What's he talking about? Using words that long? Let me just tell you, in case you're discouraged about it, let me just add to your discouragement. As long as I'm here, I'm going to keep the cookies on the bottom shelf. Where these babies can get to them. One of the simplest preachers I've ever read after was Jesus Christ. Reckon why it was everywhere he went, little children followed him. Danger of discouragement. Are you discouraged? I'm not beating you up. I'm saying don't stay there. It'd be hard not to get a little discouraged without a job. It'd be hard not to get a little discouraged with your wife at home, burning up with a fever, cancer, having to go through chemotherapy. I understand it, Brother Mike. Wouldn't beat you up over that for nothing in the world. But be careful you don't change your address and move to Discouragement Avenue and dwell there, because it will destroy you. How do I get out of it? Same way you got out of hell. Ask, ye shall receive.
Amen.
Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Those are not just verses for lost people. Those are verses for me and you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Ashley, you and I think Brother Todd's not feeling well. You okay, brother? Sister Elizabeth, y'all come. Just whatever y'all feel like doing will be fine. I really don't even know how to give the altar call tonight except to say this. If the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, I know we everyone battle and face the subject, discouragement. We ought to just get on our face tonight and say, Lord, help me not to live there. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I don't want to be down. I don't want to be a grouch. I don't want to be grumpy. Lord, help me not just to see negative all the time. Lord, help me to focus on how good you've been. That's how you get out of it.